when she's been, and
like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Did we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic bi moment of the
chaotic bi moment. And you're watching Black Bi Reality.
Black Bi Daddy.
And those who love us.
Welcome to Black Bi Reality, a place for Black Bi Baddies, those who love us. We are coming to the end of definitely the spookiest season of Love is Blind ever. I am your host, Nicole Weaver. I am an entertainment reporter currently writing for Collider, and I am once again joined by my co-host on this Halloween, Quita Tinsley.
Hey there.
Hey there.
This has indeed been the spookiest Love is Blind season thus far.
A nightmare. And it's Halloween, so if you can't see us and you're only listening to us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, I am wearing a witch's hat, and we got the most beautiful high top flower for hair.
Yes.
I mean, what do you call it?
I don't know. It's like flower crown with like butterflies. Mm-hmm. You know, it's giving kind of like an homage to Marsha P. Johnson.
Ooh, I love that.
Not completely from her picture. This is my third time doing this look. So if you're watching this now and you've seen me over the past week, you've seen an iteration of this look before. Mind your business. But yes, an homage to Black trans femme brilliance.
What a great start. Before talking about this really straight show and reunion, what's your overall feelings?
I'm going to be so honest. I watched it for a second time today, and as I finished, I was like, I don't think I'm watching Love is Blind anymore because I'm tired. I am done. Like,
the way they ended by cutting to season 8, I was like, absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Put them back.
Like,
put
no.
them back.
Like, I'm like, y'all are ending this and you want me to be excited for the next
Minneapolis?
Season? And it's like they give us another beautiful black woman.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
sandwiched between two generic white men.
Period.
I'm like, do they make it through?
Thank you. Will this woman experience heartache and pain?
What I'm seeing over and over again in these reunions, they're such PR for the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, even when you're Jessica, first of all, Jessica deserved to come back. She, she just as much as Lauren and Cam took this franchise on their backs and made it a sensation. Because, sure, we need our love stories. Like Lauren and Cam. Then you had Jessica, where we were all talking about her dog licking that wine, and our lives all changed during pandemic.
Oh, gosh.
And her man,
yeah.
But this is like also a reminder, even for the women sitting on these couches.
Yeah.
This is not your last chance.
Right.
Do not go through this process acting like this is your last chance at love. That is such a fallacy. But let's start getting into the couples in order that this reunion talked about them. Garrett and Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Just mostly talking about their looks and the fishing. Oh my gosh. I
did like them. And honestly, watching Garrett in the reunion.
Look, he was undoing a lot of buildup that people had for this couple solely on Taylor.
Truly.
And I'm like, y'all can try and put them to be next to Lauren Cam if you want to. But
no.
Cam would never.
Cam absolutely would never. Like, what? When he spoke up and said Nick had a lot of patience, I was like,
yep.
Strike one.
It's like, maybe he did in some ways, but I'm also like, okay, Garrett, if you big and bad, tell us. Tell us what you would do in the situation. If you big and bad, why can't you tell us what your friend said?
Right.
Oh, this is just so immature. And Taylor's face, Taylor looked like
mortified.
Deer in headlights, almost frozen. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, is she saying something? And we're cutting around it. Like, I don't know. She was just on high alert, which I would be, because she knows Garrett was part of this. She absolutely knows. And I don't know why everyone in this place, I don't know why Nick, because it's specifically Nick. He's like, you're hearing it from all these other people. It's literally just seven couples.
And I'm like, essentially all the women are confirming that they've heard something, which means you've been running your big mouth to all of these men.
Where I'm like, Nick still doesn't understand. I don't think he understands how much other people in this experiment are seeing it as marriage. Because he's like, this is just gossip. No, for all y'all who are watching, if you're telling a person who is in a very strong committed relationship or married, just know most of your business is also going to the other person. Just assume that.
Just assume that, more than likely, because this is the person they trust the most in the world.
Or should.
Right? Or should. Or should, right? So I'm like, if these other men are actually taking this experiment seriously, they are having very real conversations with their wives. But that's how easy, you know, couples are like having conversations about what they're witnessing in these social events. And I'm like, Nick, how long did you think you could lie about this? This is weird. And I just didn't respect Garrett because he was trying to act like Hannah was being immature in the situation when he knew what she was trying to get at. He had heard it himself. And
yes,
it's like, instead of protecting.
And he just didn't want to be a part of it.
Right. And I'm like, well, you are.
You are. You were a part of it by hearing that. And you absolutely told someone, probably Taylor, who also, like, that's also probably why Taylor looks like, oh my God. But it's like, what did you guys think?
Right.
If you guys are all, because I think they're in this filming bubble where it's like only us can understand this, and that makes perfect sense. Therefore, they're divulging a lot to each other, trusting each other, but then it gets exposed to the rest of the world, and only some people get protected and others don't for whatever reason. And you'll be Delulu to think the people who are getting a lot of backlash is not going to try to level the playing field, because you know you all are dirty, as Marissa said.
Right. We're all wrong.
And they don't want, they want good versus evil, because that's what reality TV plays into. But this is also real people. People are very complicated.
Exactly. And trying to be like, I'm counting down the seconds for this to end. And I'm just like,
no one cares.
No one cares.
You just want to be congratulated on your new look and move on. And you get the one man who is going to move for his wife. And that family was showing all of the signs leading up. But we're not going to talk about the details of what could have been going on with that family. And Garrett, even though he's like, everything's hunky-dory and fine, a year after being in San Diego with her people, we're calling it, and we're going back. I'm like, the society that we have on these women, it's like, even when they're trying, or we're trying to bunk that women, once they get married, must leave their family and become part of their men's. We say all the time, oh, once you're married, you know, we merge families. No. A lot of times, y'all ladies know you become more part of the man's family, either by moving closer to them.
Right.
I mean, the children gets the man's last name, not.
Right.
They'll put up a fight if you try to put up the other one. Why? It's just the care of the parents when they get old. I think that's like a very unsaid thing too. It's like the wife, even when it's not their parents, it's the in-laws.
Right.
A lot of times they get the brunt of also doing the elder care. Like, that's the perk of getting a wife, where I'm still like, what's the perk of having a husband?
there really seems like there is none. Because I really took issue with them calling it neutral ground.
It's not.
It's not. I'm like, it's like an hour away by car from Garrett's family, and it's a 6-hour flight away from yours. That is not neutral ground. And, you know, I think she may have been getting emotional for a myriad of reasons when she talked about that, but it felt very telling that as she talked about that and looking at her parents in the eye, you know, because I feel like Garrett keeps saying how close he is to his family, and clearly Taylor is too. I'm like, neutral ground would have been Chicago or Austin. Like, that would have been neutral ground, but like, being essentially very close to his family is not neutral. It's a major compromise on Taylor's part when she was ready to leave DC.
Yeah. Completely changed her life plans, but she seems happy and she's putting fingers in fish eyes now, so.
Ooh. And that's our strongest couple, y'all.
All right, we got Ashley and Tyler, and boy, this went down exactly how I thought it would.
God, I really was hoping for different. But
what are you hoping for?
I don't know. I guess for Ashley to have responded differently.
How?
I think either I was talking to my boo and I was just like, watching the reunion, I hope Ashley does one of two things. Either she doubles down and she's like, my man, my man, my man, and I don't care about that situation. I'm choosing him. Or she just is like, I'm out because I don't feel like there's clarity and transparency in the situation. And she did the like middle ground thing, right? Where she's like, I'm choosing my man and he's honest. I knew everything. You're insulting my intelligence if you think I didn't know. And it's like, that would not be insulting your intelligence if we see someone lying to you, you know?
Here's the thing. People have absolutely come at Ashley's intelligence during this.
Right.
I know there's a lot of people who are like, who said that? It's the internet. Right. If you didn't say it, you know someone else did. Because a lot of people have been talking about, what does she know? What doesn't she know? Oh, we're going to reserve judging until we actually know she's still moving forward. And now the big thing is, well, has she ever talked to the other woman? It's like, the whole point is Tyler is supposed to.
Right, Tyler's
supposed to. We're hyper-focusing on Ashley and how she's dealing with it. And I'm like, a lot of this makes sense. It is disappointing. But then again, we still don't know what she knows. She's claiming a lot.
Right.
And that's a strategy. So Tyler claims that there has been a lot of laughter and love in their marriage. Ashley said that she missed the bubble before people knew about them. I'm so sure you did. And then they start talking about the donating. Vanessa brings it up. He said things shouldn't be happening, like their birth certificates are online. He referred to them as that family, and he is in pictures with the kids because he spent holidays with all of his friends. He claimed Ashley knew all of this. He ends the speech with, and if she's still sitting here with me, he takes a minute to wipe his face. There was a break, and he said, I'm good. And guess what? Tyler's right. He is good if he's sitting next to Ashley, because she did exactly what a woman who is standing by her man do. He said his little bit, and she goes on to take the reins. She claimed Tyler did tell her that the kids knew what he looked like, but he decided to lie in front of the cameras. I don't believe you.
Right.
And also, that was a freaking bite. Did she even ask that in that second? I don't know. I'm just like, we didn't actually see her say that, so she, I guess, has to say something. I wouldn't be surprised if that wasn't part of that conversation. And then they claimed he lied to protect the kids. I hate this. I hate this because the show and Tyler are turning on the fans and saying, actually, I didn't do anything wrong. You guys are the ones who are wrong because you guys are making this a big deal. Tyler, people investigate when you're being deceiving, especially to a black woman.
Exactly.
You do not want anyone to care about this black woman as much as we do.
Right. Right.
That's the truth of it. Steven later goes on a whole rant of, y'all don't care about me. These men feel like they've been abandoned. And we know men in society are feeling that way. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing how they're acting around that. And mm-hmm. they're so resentful and mm-hmm. angry at women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How dare you not protect me? I'm Tim. I'm a 6'5" black
220
man.
220-pound black man.
And I don't want to be portrayed as angry, but you said that that woman put her hands on you real quick in front of those cameras in a way that she did not say until the reunion, and you had your finger in my face. And I was like, excuse me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I hope everyone who wanted to accuse Ashley of abuse to then really think of that picture. Of Tim wagging a finger in her face.
Right. Yelling and or speaking loudly how he wants to describe it, which is just like the result is the same. She felt yelled at. So,
yeah.
I think,
Ashley and Tyler. And
Tyler. Yeah. I think my issue with Tyler is like he is insulting Ashley's intelligence. He's insulting the viewer's intelligence. And he's insulting like,
mm-hmm.
also the mother of his children's intelligence.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, okay, he got lucky with the timing of when the reunion was filmed mm-hmm. and when she came to the internet and spoke her truth, right? Mm-hmm. He got lucky in that regard. But I'm like, I just do not understand how long he thought he could continue on with this narrative that he's been spinning to Ashley and the producers or whoever else.
And the people around him too, because the people around him know, his mama knows,
right?
But they're all in on it, which is so weird. Like something is, that's weird.
Right.
So yeah, basically Ashley claims she knew everything, but they did this for the cameras, claims that he's a good person who got in too deep and people are reacting because it's taboo. Now, what we're not going to do, at Black by Reality is act like this has anything to do with queerness.
Right.
Sir, this has to do with you and what opportunities you see in women.
Right. And like, yes, being a donor and like being a known donor to people who are close to you can be complicated to navigate. That is true. But also, it is not this messy. Right. And like it being this messy is based on Tyler's choices and his behavior and actions. Like
if he was upfront and said, this is the situation, my friend. We had these kids together mm-hmm. physically. and so it's not like the donor situation was even by book in that way.
Right.
Even if they were living like this little open relationship family,
mm-hmm.
I think at least people would still even respect that because you are making a stand and you're standing in your truth.
Yes.
You're not an ally if you so-called help this mm-hmm. lesbian couple
mm-hmm.
have babies. Claim you filled in, left her high and dry is what he said,
mm-hmm.
which that woman has spoken out. And said mm-hmm. a lot of things about Tyler and his mm-hmm. whole part. Tyler, you shiesty right. as hell for even right. saying that about her.
Right.
Saying those kids are just those kids. Like, if you had a relationship and you're acknowledging you spent holidays, you don't have, like, my nephews or something. You know, it's so
right.
distant. He's trying to be so distant, yet acknowledging he's absolutely closer than what he portrayed.
Right, right. And, like, in the name of protecting them, when he chose to lie.
He lied.
You know? And then, okay, say we follow their logic of what they're saying happened. That also means that he continued to choose moments to lie when mm-hmm. they were filming after they had a conversation,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think that is the issue, right? Is, like... Yeah. The internet is catching him in lies, and we're just like, why would you lie about that.
Like, Ashley, like, you're going down with the ship by even claiming you lied on camera with him or was reenacting some. This happens on reality TV for sure, because they're not there, obviously, a lot of the time for Love is Blind filming. Right. But it's like, you're trying to be similar to this man, and you shouldn't try. Also, this man starts really piling on that Ashley's the front of this. Talk to Ashley. He said that, he says, ask Ashley when she started talking, you know, defending him. And I'm like, why are you, you don't want people to go to your social media, but you're telling people in the world and on the internet, just ask Ashley. And she's like, well, wait, like, he's putting her on duty.
Right. He's like, I don't have anything to explain, but essentially positioning his wife to be his spokesperson.
Protect her! What? You're not a protector! And this is the one thing he clinged to Ashley that he was, and it seemed like the one thing Ashley wanted. He's not a protector! And it shows just in how this whole thing played out. Oh my god, she even tries to hype herself up because she is getting so much backlash. Because the women always do.
Right.
And there's many reasons why. But she's getting so much backlash. She's like, yeah, and if I wanted to go find a man, I could. Well, she absolutely could. Look at her.
She's gorgeous.
She's gorgeous and she's the prize. Tyler undercuts her. I don't know if you noticed that or heard.
Yes. He's like, he starts off with his answer like, she aight. No.
No.
First of all, you should be kissing her feet, singing her praises because she's still sitting next to you.
You are showing us who you are without even knowing, because you can't even let her shine. You have to be in competition and comparison with her, and it's disgusting. This woman has done nothing but been nice to you. You can't even back her when she says, and I can pull anyone. Don't like insecure men. My God, could not give her a break, an inch, anything, and still is asking people, go ask Ashley. So, yeah. And then at the end, they talk about their great love. Tyler says he's been loved unconditionally. And this is why you don't love your man unconditionally. Because he knows he got her good.
Right. Right, because when
he hasn't said, I love her unconditionally.
Mm-mm.
We love each other unconditionally.
Mm-mm.
I've never received this. Mm-hmm. And that could also be going to the woman who mothered
his children. Mm-hmm.
That could have been a subtle dig at her. Mm-hmm. You gave me 3 kids. You were in a whole marriage when we were still, you've given up so much that marriage broke down. These kids have to have their names changed because Tyler's name is on them kids, even though, but you know, you haven't been loved unconditionally ever in your whole entire life, Tyler.
Yeah. And honestly, I felt like it was potentially a dig at his own mom. Because I'm like, usually our first experience of unconditional love is our parents. So
there's something going on there.
Yeah.
What's up with you and women? Mm. That's for most people on that show.
Honestly, I'm like, every single man, I just want to ask them, what is up with you and women?
Truly.
You supposedly are attracted to them and want to marry a woman, but like, it actually kind of seems like you hate women. Like them very much. So what's the truth?
Can you explain? If you have any questions about what we're even talking about when it comes to Tyler, I do have another video on that talking about Tyler's lesbian drama on this channel. So, or in this same podcast feed. Moving on to our next couple, we talked to Marissa and Ramsey's next.
Whew. I mean, the moment they asked Marissa the question of, like, how it was rewatching it and, like, her automatically getting emotional, it, like, really hit home for me how she was caught so off guard.
It was traumatic.
Yeah, it was truly traumatic for her. We
watched that girl have a panic attack.
We did. And like a year later, it still makes her emotional. You know?
She's not getting over that for quite some time. Francis said he later realized that there was an imbalance in their energy. The way these men talk. I mean, it's better. This is where it's like, all right, I'm trying to keep Hannah. We'll get to Hannah in my back. Hannah and Nick in my back pocket when we're talking about honesty,
mm-hmm.
feedback, mm-hmm. being kind about feelings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the energy conversation comes across as a cop-out, but at the end of the day, I'm also like, this could be so much better than what actually made him pull out and like mm-hmm. saying that. I don't, mm-hmm. I'm coming around on this, but how do you feel?
I mean, how he feels is how he feels, right? If he felt like she was too high energy for him, that's fine. But I do feel like he clearly missed the mark around, like, at least trying to have dialogue with her about what he was experiencing mm-hmm. so that it didn't all come to a head and he's breaking up with her. And essentially he's like, you do too much and it's overwhelming for me. And long term, I can't see myself doing this. You know, I think it would have hurt either way, whether he was like microdosing, you know, but I think going from like, I see myself marrying you to being like, whoa, this is too much. You're too much. I'm tired and overwhelmed. It's like, a lot. And I think it would be traumatizing for anyone.
Truly. Truly. And then, of course, they brought out Vanessa, which is the mama. And boy, everyone asked for Tyler's baby mamas. Maybe even the grandmother, because she's the one who started this whole ball rolling. Put them in the audience. They said no.
Absolutely. We will put Vanessa, though.
Vanessa. Okay, so this was wild. Vanessa was like, actually, the last time I talked to her, Ramses, was the day he broke up with her. This woman does not hold back. Because she said, I talked to him even though I wanted to punch him in the throat. Marissa had something to say about her mama when she first talked to Ramses. Now all of a sudden she's looking to the side smiling. She says, like, that's my ride or die right there.
Here.
Right there.
Exactly. I saw that. She was like, exactly. Get him, mom.
Yeah. It's like, it's very interesting because obviously also the world has come around on Marissa's mom. And there are still things about Marissa's mom that is still something to look at in that first scene. But I think watching how they come together through hardship and the beginning of their relationship mm-hmm. was also very hard due to mm-hmm. poverty. It's like I'm seeing two women who are probably like bouncing between sisterhood where they're mm-hmm. bickering sisters because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Vanessa's flat out called Marissa a bitch.
She did. Straight
but
up.
Then she was also like, but I would kill for that bitch, which is very big sister.
Right.
Rather than mother. So that's very interesting
yeah.
to see how that plays out.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is a great point. And also recognizing how young her mom must be, because she has like, what is it, three or four children? And like Marissa's in her 30s. You know, yeah. I don't know. I was like, oh, her mom is young. So I wouldn't be surprised if like being a young parent, like that dynamic in a relationship, right? Yeah. So interesting.
Very. But she thanks him, which, shouldn't we all? She thanks him for not marrying her daughter because he did the right thing. He probably should have left earlier, but it is what it is. And she also said Marissa would have carried that relationship. She said, you can talk about my daughter's energy any day.
Right.
Your low energy self is dead weight.
I mean, that
dead.
And right, and I'm just like, I mean, is she wrong? Like, Marissa was in law school, working a job, also filming a television show and trying to build a marriage. He's like working from home, and he's like, "Whoa, you're coming."
And she was ready to have a baby in like 2 years. On top of it, she was taking on the world for this man.
Right.
Now he also had a speech, saying, you know, he never tried to present an ultimatum for contraception. I remember talking about how he was doing this. I think he was very careful of not saying ultimatum. He was like, this is how I feel about condoms. You decide. I can't do this, any physical intimacy to get married, but, you know, it's up to you. You got agency. And it's like, you know, you did everything but say this is an ultimatum.
Right, because also if it's like, I don't want to get a vasectomy and I'm not using condoms, essentially the onus is then on Marissa to either figure out hormonal birth control or use a different method.
And then what was that method?
She tracked her cycle, like tracked her ovulation.
I knew it.
It was the natural method, yeah.
So you were still anti? Very anti. Anti. And he couldn't even say, you know, this is my personal preference for those, especially young people watching.
Right.
Maybe don't follow me, because condoms are great for, like, we're not even taking the responsibility of who could be watching Ramses.
Yeah.
And he's just so worried about his image and saying the right thing. I know how it affects women's bodies. Do you? How would you? None of you men know. That's why it's the first thing that come out of your mouth.
Right.
Why are you lying?
And it's like you want a particular outcome, and essentially the onus becomes on your like partner, your woman partner, to make that outcome happen, no matter the expense on her at all.
She has to put in work to track. I can't. Like,
right.
I don't do that. I'm trying.
Right. It's not like.
I fail so often. I can't imagine also being like, and then this is when I'm ovulating. So we have to. And then the temperature. There's body temperature to this stuff. Ramses is not helping out with that.
Right.
So you can't go to the grocery store, dollar store, drug store, to pick up a pack.
Right.
What are our other options? For men, like you want her to pick up another duty monthly,
exactly, because it's not thinking of the labor aspect, right? Because it's like, okay, sure, you don't enjoy like using condoms, but that is much less labor. It's like a 30-second put it on, get to business, take it off, versus like every day tracking your body. That's a lot of work.
Here's the thing, Ramses, you're not very smart, because also Marissa made it very clear she wants a baby before you do.
Right.
And yourself, and I'm not saying Marissa would ever, I actually think she is too, so dedicated, she would have been stringent on that stuff. But Ramses, if you try this with another girl and say the only way we're doing this is no condom, and she's like, no birth control, and he's like, just track, and the girly wants a baby,
you're going to end up with a baby.
Like, period. Because you're just giving away your agency to this other person.
Exactly.
Take agency of your stuff.
But it's like, I think a part of it is not wanting to have agency. So that way, if there is a pregnancy that hasn't been planned for, or maybe it's not a desirable time, you can fall back and say, oh, well, she was supposed to be tracking her cycle.
You can blame the woman. Now, Marissa does say some dumb stuff on that in this section. I will admit, because Marissa keeps being stuck on, well, I had no say. Marissa, babes. We don't get a say when someone wants to break up with us.
Right.
You can't be like, she wanted them to act like still an engaged couple, I guess.
Right.
During the breakup, even though it's a breakup.
Right. Yeah, it felt like she really wanted to negotiate. Mm-hmm. Like, let's negotiate. Like, because even when she's, I mean, I do agree he should have been a bit more forthcoming about how he was feeling so she didn't get caught so by surprise around it. But even her, it's not like, hey, I would have appreciated being in conversation so I knew what was going on with you. It was, I wanted you to talk to me about it so I could fix it or change it or make it work. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't think he wanted to make it work. I think he's pretty clear, right? He's done. But, like, yeah, it is a good thing to be in conversation with your partner around their emotional world, especially when it comes to your relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she has to let that go. You don't get a say. If someone wants to leave, they can leave.
Right.
Simple as that.
Right.
Even in marriage that we're supposed to be like, oh, this is going to be one and done, da, da, da. You didn't even get married. But even in a marriage, if someone's like, I'm going to leave. We're leaving. I know in this country they're trying to roll that back. The nodal force back. But for now we have it. And we're going to act accordingly, okay? Because we don't trap people in relationships over here. No. Except, do we, Tyler?
Period. And it's like you don't want to be in a relationship with someone who doesn't want to be in a relationship with you.
Yeah.
You know, like, how healthy or happy of a relationship there is that if one person feels like they're being confined into the relationship, you know, like, that man want to leave, let him leave and you can move on because you're beautiful, you have your whole life ahead of you, you're brilliant, like, you know, I'm like, girl, you will not have trouble finding another man if that's the goal.
Like Ashley said, and then Tyler vetoed because he thinks he can say anything. Like,
that woman's literally a Barbie doll. Like, if she want another man, she could find one.
And I'm sorry, but I have to acknowledge this. I wonder how much it is that he's like, she's fine, but she's also dark skin, and I'm light skin, so I'm the prize in this relationship. And it's like, boy, if you don't sit them freckles down.
Because if we want to be on the real, Ashley could do a whole monologue like Hannah was doing if she wanted to. But she's not. Okay? So I'm going to need him to tone it down and really appreciate what he got, aside from the fact that she unconditionally loves him. Because it's like, what do you actually love about this woman besides her self-sacrificing for your shenanigans?
Hasn't said a thing. Period. I don't know what he loves about her. I don't know. I don't know things about a lot of people. Let's talk about Nick and Hannah now. Okay. Hannah said everything she said was true. She just needs to work on her delivery. I am kind of over Nick and Vanessa really trying to get Hannah to apologize. I know that fans definitely come into reunion thinking, I want accountability. Which, what does that mean, really?
Right. What do they even mean in this context? Yeah.
Maybe the Trevor context? Trevor?
Oh.
Trevor is, like, in, out. Like, there was actual receipts pulled up. And then it was, like, bye. And then on top of that, he was almost cut from Perfect Match.
Right.
That was, like, real accountability. Things have happened. We hear accountability so many times in this reunion. And I'm like, what does that even mean? Mm-hmm. I hear acknowledgement. I don't know if actual accountability is happening.
Right.
Steven.
Who? Right.
Mm-hmm. But we're still on these two.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, but she's a grown-ass woman. Like, they asked way too many times. And Hannah was like, let me tell you something. Mr. 98 Degrees and Miss NCIS Hawaii.
I can't not NCIS Hawaii.
I ain't apologizing to that boy. Gonna stomp on him and kick him a little harder and have everyone else join in.
Period. As AD said, she was standing on business, doubling down, 10 toes down. She said, I said what I said. I meant it. I could have not been as mean about it, but I'm not taking back nothing I said.
Nothing. Nothing. So where do we go from here? She took control of that segment. Nick is very quiet. A lot of men are playing the quiet game at first. He's saying a lot of things. He's giving Hannah a lot of grace. He's just like, yeah, Hannah, maybe she believes the things. He did put a little, everything she said was not true. But if she believes that, he like goes to Lon, backs away because he knows Hannah will jump him.
Right.
She's Hannah, like, say something.
Right. Right. She said, I'm going to own that I could have been nicer, but I'm going to still keep speaking facts.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's going to stop me from doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. So now they're talking about Hannah's year. Hannah apparently has had a rough year. She always knew she had to work on things, and she didn't have to watch the show back to know that, and she's figuring things out. Vanessa asked, she was like, oh, you got a glow up, which, ew, Vanessa.
You mean she lost weight?
You just mean she lost weight. Like,
what is the glow up?
You did come at those close, but honestly, I do not like this outfit either.
Well,
I
no,
think
I mean,
lacking.
Right, I came at the clothes because it's like fat phobia before us, right?
Yes.
It's this woman feeling so insecure about her body because she feels like people consider her fat. She loses all this weight after the season, right?
Yeah.
Comes back, everybody's like, "You look so great," and then they're like, "Do
Which
you
confirms,
love yourself?" Right,
it
right.
confirms
this,
what
exactly.
she already knows is that if she came to this reunion,
right.
With the weight she had, or
right.
bigger,
right.
the reception would have been different. Like,
exactly.
they're still like, oh, she's still this and that. But she knew that was a self-armor thing. Her not loving herself, because she asked, do you love yourself now?
Right.
She's about to cry.
Exactly.
Because how can you love yourself after you lose all this weight? And people are like, you're glow up. And she's still the same person.
Literally.
She's still the same person who's not apologetic, who
mm-hmm.
deflects a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What's the glow up if she just lost weight?
Literally. Literally.
Y'all, you're off. Fat phobia. I need you to really think about it, because you want to hate Hannah so much, and yet she hates herself probably because someone hated her already because she was fat. Like,
right.
this is like, it's a ball that keeps rolling that doesn't excuse her behavior. It's absolutely just the origin. She has so much
right.
self-hatred.
Exactly.
And she knows also, this was so interesting on how she did this with Nick, because now it's Nick, you pretend to be this nice guy. You're always loving me, but I'm not doing anything lovable to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems fake.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are like, okay, in an abusive relationship, like victims do,
uh-huh.
yeah, they do stick around. That I'm still like, I kind of see where Hannah's logic is going.
Yeah.
Because for her, she already feels unlovable. She's acting unlovable. Nick's
right.
saying, you're still lovable. She's like, I'm obviously not, because I'm treating you like this.
Horribly. Yeah.
So what is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
She has to look so far for this man is a fraud because he's with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's
mm-hmm.
the message at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fraud because he's with me. Who would be with me? She looks into a journal. Or her friends
right.
do, and
right.
it was open. I will say, Nick saying he had it open and around the house, I was like, all right, like, I'll acknowledge this could have happened in another way, but
mm-hmm.
Hannah stands in her dirt
mm-hmm.
and says this was a violation of privacy. And it says that he wanted to be the most famous. And like, how? This is why she called you delusional, Nick.
Yeah.
Because not even knowing who you're going to get engaged to and everything, knowing where you were at, how?
Right. And to Marissa's point around it, it's like it automatically indicates that you had no real interest in being a part of this show for the point of the show. Because, you know, he's like, it's before I even knew. And it's like, so that means when you came into the interview process.
He did two interviews. He said he did two interviews, so it was absolutely a possibility by that time.
Right. Exactly. I'm like, so my thing is like, regardless of the timing of when you wrote it, you were coming into this scenario not actually desiring marriage. You were desiring fame. Yes. And you can't, like, of course that would make your fiance be like, I don't trust anything you've said to me, especially when she's been insecure the whole time and she finds this after y'all break up. Like, mm-hmm. it's going to confirm the story that she's told herself.
Yeah.
And for him to be like, oh, well, like, I didn't care about that. And it's like, well, does it matter how much you cared about it if it's hurting the person that you said mm-hmm. that you loved and wanted to marry more?
That would have hurt, I think, any woman. And that's also something right. that Nick probably is not gonna see, because Hannah's such a big character and a big force mm-hmm. in all of this. It's mm-hmm. like, you almost right. can't take Hannah out of it. But the fact that he did that before ever meeting any woman,
mm-hmm.
it's like he wasn't even taking the potential women he was dating into account. These men, mm-hmm. a lot of them aren't even seeing these women as human beings. I mean, later on, Leo likens them to freaking pasta and whatever.
Steak meal. And pasta. Steak and pasta.
These men are not seeing women as human beings, because when you go into Love is Blind, you're not even taking account. You're meeting other human beings who have hopes and dreams of marriage. Is it stupid? Is it stupid at seven seasons in? Because I know someone's going to say this. They've been saying it already. That everyone is in there for a little bit of fame. Sure. But if the number one goal is fame, that's the issue. Because right. you are going to be in a relationship with someone, and do they know that's your number one goal? You can take it or leave it for this right. marriage. And it's fine if you both are on the same time of time.
Period. That's
Alex
okay.
And Tim, Alex and Tim were almost at the same time of time. They were like, I can take it or leave it. That breakup mm-hmm. went almost so smoothly. Tim just wanted to keep upping it.
He wanted it to not go smoothly. He exactly. was like, oh, this is happening too smoothly.
Yeah. She was like, I'm not going to fight you. Okay.
No, you've made up your mind. Cool. Bet. Like, yeah. I'm not even going to waste my breath if you've made up your mind.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to fight for you. So, yeah. Now they're talking about the fame of it all. And then we talk about the looks of it all, because we got to talk about that. Hannah was like, okay, I was wrong. I wasn't a foot taller than you. But guess what, Nick? You did tell other people that you weren't into me. Okay. What did you think of this? Well, we kind of already talked about it.
Right, a little bit. I mean, it made me not respect every single man up there less, except for Steven, which I didn't respect him more. But, you know, I'm like, at least when...
Here's the thing about Steven. Here's the thing. I think some people might confuse my TikToks and stuff of, like, I am, like, relishing these terrible people in this season. Or these people who are having bad behavior. I'm in awe. As a person who watches these shows for a living, a person who writes scripts, mm-hmm. and therefore I think about characters, Hannah is so fascinating
mm-hmm.
as a character. And she's absolutely probably the most famous in this cast.
Yeah, undeniably.
She has beaten Nick. And I don't know if she's consciously or subconsciously like, Nick, you want to play that game? I will do it better. She doing it. Yeah. All those men. And it was such a sign, too, of how often these men don't talk. And it's like, how much is that it's the editing. They know that mostly women are watching. So we don't really want to hear the men talk a lot unless it's good.
Right.
Or it strongly affects the woman lead. It's very interesting, though, because I think all these men are pretty resentful then that they're mm-hmm. on this show cater to women, and women are highly invested in the mm-hmm. women's health and romantic life. They feel like they're left behind. Nick was surrounded by support. So there's that. But then, yeah, the whole... it became a men versus women thing. And I think the men really rely on their silence to be able to get the benefit of the doubt.
Right. It's all about what they're not saying. Like, and he's like, I mean, everybody up here are like, these men up here support me, you know, and I'm just like, supporting you by hiding your, right, staying silent in your BS. You are lying on camera. You're lying to this woman. Multiple women have confirmed that they're part of it.
So many times.
Exactly. And then you, a man speaks up, and then all of a sudden you want to tell the truth. As if though you didn't just spend 5 minutes.
You spent 5 minutes. You shut down Marissa where he's like, where's this person? She's like, I am almost, I'm doing everything but pointing at Rance right now of why I would know this. Then Monica pipes up and was like, you said it. You said it to Steven. Steven's like, yeah, you said it. Steven's not the great, like the greatest bear, like, thing of truth. So we need another one.
Right.
And Garrett is like non-committally, like, I'm so above this, even though you weren't when you were in that conversation and you absolutely told Taylor. Like,
right. Alex also confirms that she knew it too. I'm just like,
and this is just showing, like, women are so not believed. And then finally, Marissa, you can say what you want about Marissa and Ramses because she flat out. We'll get to that point. But that man spoke up finally when Marissa said something. And I'm like, you know what? I liked that.
Exactly.
He wasn't going to voluntarily do it because he's a coward.
All those men are cowards.
They're all cowards. But he did it once Marissa directly asked, and I was like, okay, right. Okay. But also, it's like, is it because you watched every single woman also say it, and no one believes? And this is the thing: these men act like they're confused. They're confused on why these women act this way, as if they know they're conspiring against them to make them right. Crazy. Marissa's like, you're not going to have me and Hannah look like we're beating up this poor little golden retriever right now. That's not what you're not going to do. And that's still the narrative. People are angry at them.
I'm just like, I don't understand. I'm like, first of all, when Nick said, I didn't even talk to any of you women, I'm like, okay, you're a misogynist. Like, what do you mean? You were in pods, you dated some of these women, and then you get out of the pods and you don't speak to any of them?
Now all of a sudden Nick gets called out. But he's like, but then why did you invite me to your place? Men do this every time, Nick! Every time that you're like, well, if I treated you so bad, or if I'm so bad, then why did you go back? These women went on this show for a marriage.
They quit her job for this show to find a husband.
Which some people are like, that just shows she's even more fame hungry. This thing films for a very long time, y'all. 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
You are asking off from work.
Right.
For some of those. If you have a wedding, will you even take a honeymoon afterwards?
Right.
Like, people, a lot of women, because societal pressure, the opportunity, yes, the opportunity being finances, but also marriage. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, they're quitting their jobs and then they're getting another one.
She was like so committed to this process and felt insecure in her relationship. You know, I'm like, no one's denying that she was talking to that man hella wild.
Yeah.
I'm more financially literate than you. That will forever send me. Because it was like,
he didn't know what a stock was.
He didn't, but she said that before that. Like, Hannah, you're sending me right now. She said that.
They absolutely talked about something for her to be like, oh, so you don't know money. Okay.
Right. I turned you from a boy to a man. Classic, iconic moment. You know,
but people also, hated that.
I loved it. I was just like, girl, this is when you're drunk, you having an argument, and you just saying anything that comes to the top of your mind.
Anything.
I turned you from a boy to a man.
Girl, what? You didn't place him. You met him a week ago.
You literally did.
You know? But yeah, okay. So Marissa was in the trenches, and it's very interesting to see who is good friends in mm-hmm. this cast. Mm-hmm. Where's the divides? I'm mm-hmm. trying to figure that out. I didn't know Hannah and Marissa were cool like that.
Me neither.
But now they're best friends. Katie got replaced. Katie, you all know this, Katie.
Right. And then Katie was like, it was the three of us. And I'm like, well, it only seems like the two of them now, but that's cool.
Oh, yeah. And then Marissa was like, when he asked, why did you invite me back to your place? Which was very Nick Viall. If you know that on The Bachelor.
Mm.
He became a villain from that. Because no one was talking about sex and you just said that off rip like that.
Right. Especially, that's interesting that Nick, Love is Blind Nick, would say that when he essentially had asked Hannah not to talk about.
But she did.
She did. Straight up, she did. But,
but here's the here's also the thing. She didn't do it to camera or anything. She absolutely still, she was drunk at that party, was thinking she was only confiding in her friend, forgetting she had a freaking mic pack.
Mic on. Right.
Like, ooh. That's, and they weren't even in front of her face. They sneakily were in the back of that bar and was like, now just zoom in. Like, they, they caught her on candid. He couldn't even, he didn't bring that up because obviously she didn't mean to do that. But she has, she had so many issues with this man, including his conversation with Katie. This was wild. First of all, Katie looks great.
Absolutely fantastic.
Amazing. She said she had no clue how long that conversation was. She called them both charismatic. So we might be, I'm like, wild with the hype up of themselves. Wild with the hype up. Like, we're obviously charismatic. And I only called him cute, hot, sexy. You said he was cuter in person. That's hardly even a compliment. I don't know why you can't directly quote yourself. You had a year for this.
Right. You know, she was trying to own it, I guess. But she definitely said he's cuter in person, which is not saying a lot at all.
So ain't. She was not worried about that little boy.
She wasn't. And straight up told him that to his face, essentially.
But he doesn't hear it. He hears all the sweet things. And that's why I was like, I hate this conversation. Because he has selective hearing. Now Katie said that she's been sitting with anxiety for a year. She apologized, sent Hannah flowers. He said that she's been, they've talked about this to exhaustion. Hannah!
Right.
Why? Were all three of you trying to hang out after the season filmed? Like, is that what that dynamic was?
Or I'm assuming because she, if she was still trying to entertain a relationship with Nick, right, and was trying to pursue a friendship with Katie, it would still be top of mind. And I'm sure someone like Hannah wanted to see the footage because she wouldn't actually believe either one of them until she saw for herself.
Yeah, because Katie basically asked, like, are we good now?
Right, you've seen it. Are we good now? Right. And Hannah's like, it's not that bad.
No, she was like, oh, it was never you. I don't know why I said that. I was just trying to shut down the conversation. The look on Hannah's face that as Katie was talking about this, by the way, she had like the smirk. Yeah. And I'm like, Hannah, I don't think Hannah trusts. Well, obviously Hannah doesn't trust people.
No.
She really doesn't. She really assumes they all have really bad intentions. And as a girl with CPTSD, I am working through that. So maybe in some ways I be seeing it and I'm like, oh, Hannah, we need to slow that roll. Because this is when your mind is being mean to you.
Exactly.
And making you think you have to act. So she's sitting there and she's like, I'm not buying it. Like, whatever. And then she's like, no, we're good. We're totally good. Now this queen, Vanessa, Marissa's mom, leans over and says she made you feel like shit for a year, a whole year.
And I'm sure if Marissa and Hannah are friends, Vanessa got some thoughts about that. Because if you, I don't know if you caught it, but Marissa says she's been mean to me too. And I'm like, someone like Vanessa, she not going to like that.
You're not going to be a good friend.
No.
She's, obviously, Hannah's not a good friend. She's not a good friend to herself. How could she be a good friend?
Right.
So, yeah. This is a lot of hurt begets hurt.
Just be honest. If you told them, man, you were not impressed with her looks, own it.
Own it.
Be like, I said that. Straight up. I said that. You know, and don't try to use the lack of footage and your homie's silence as a way to get around acknowledgement or accountability on this.
Yeah. And for Hannah, I think she might have, I wrote down, I was like, I think this is the first time we can say Hannah lied on screen. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgive you, Katie. Because Vanessa immediately outed her tea.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. That's absolutely a to be continued. Okay. Exactly. These girlies are not okay. Which is so wild, because, like, also Katie's older. Like,
right.
Like, this is, they're so young. Like, everything about this is so young to even still entertain it. It's like, why?
Right. I'm like, Katie, don't let this 26-year-old be mean to you about a man you don't even want.
Like, not it's happening.
It's never that serious.
Bully back.
Period.
Fully back. That's what Hannah needs. Now, let's move on to Steven and Monica. Steven thought he was so cute, making all them little jokey jokes. Those nasty jokey jokes. It's like, this is not even about you. This is absolutely using humor as self-protection. And he wants you to think he's so cool with being called out. Because, hey, I'm already going to therapy. Like, what therapy is this?
And it's like, just because you go to therapy, it's like, what are you actually exploring and unpacking in the work that you're doing in therapy?
Right? He doesn't actually say any of this. It's very vague. So yeah, he says at first he doesn't remember the text, which Steven and Monica have been lying about this the whole entire time. They remember, but I think Monica is like, yeah, Steven, you say. Right. She looked at him like, I've been getting this question all press run. I asked her it, I think.
Right.
But yeah. So then he's like, oh, I don't remember. And then he doesn't want to go in deep about this because in respect to the other individual. Monica said, I know you not going. I know you respect an individual.
When you were sexting, when you had a whole fiance on a reality TV show, my dude. What?
Steven trying to be out of respect to this individual is the same as Tyler being like, I want to protect these kids.
No, you're trying to protect yourself and
stop
own that.
Hiding behind women and children, you grown men.
Just be like, you know what? I lied to protect myself. And that's it. Just own it.
No, no. But he's Mr. Open and Honest in this new getup and this new beard. So Steven said he wrote Monica's parents a letter and that set her all the way off. I love Monica. I love her so much. I DM'd that woman and I was like, you did good job. Good job. And she said, thank you. She didn't need my good job. But I'm like, tense.
I was a little shocked she had smoke for him, though. I think this is the conversation that caught me off guard. Because, you know.
She had smoke for him during that. Remember, he said Kate Spade. No. She said YSL.
No, I know. But I think based on how she came to the Gatsby party.
Yeah.
Right? And she's like, oh, we had a conversation. He's a good guy. Da-da-da. I just assumed she'd be on her, like, he's a good guy energy. And she was like, nope. Like, I'm still going to have the smoke for you.
Yeah. I think the difference, though, and this is something that also a lot of people need to keep in mind when we're talking about, you know, these people still sleeping with each other after this experience and stuff. This experience was only like 6 to 8 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Afterwards, it's like, what do you do with this?
Right.
A lot of people takes so much more time to process relationships. They're trying to figure out what was for show, what is actually our real dynamic. It makes sense. Like, you can clown all you want about these women, but it it makes sense. People on reality shows do this all the time. And so I wouldn't be shocked if it was so fresh at that time for Monica that she's just like, first of all, I need to hold it together because these cameras are here. This man's not here to say anything on his end. Mm-hmm. I'll give this quick little thing and I'm trying to have fun tonight. Peace. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hopefully I will not be much more in the show. So yeah, I get it. But now it's been almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
So she really gets to see now the long game of who this person is.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the title of my interview with Monica was, I think he wants to be a good guy. She has absolutely evolved in her thinking about this man. And I love it for her.
I do too. Because we don't need to protect these men. We don't need to speak on their behalf or talk about how good they are. Let their actions speak for themselves.
And, you know, Stephen thought he was hanging in there until he snapped and went on this rant. And I was like, yeah, show that slit. Show it. So now all of a sudden he says, no one cares about me or think I'm telling the truth. How much accountability do I need to take? I said sorry and I went to therapy and I wrote this letter. Ooh, I was like, these people are complex human beings. I don't like painting them as heroes or villains or anything. But I'm like, if I wrote a villain speech of like, it always seems like it's so unrealistic with like the villain sheds their mask because they think they got away with it or something. And they just spill all of this. That was his moment. And you know who was eating it up? Because someone was. Did you see Hannah's face?
Oh, I don't remember her face, actually. Yeah, I'm like, I don't remember her face, actually.
Don't worry. I'm making a TikTok about it. She was in. She was like, yes. Yes, let them know. Be unapologetic. They're idiots.
Right.
She's like, these fans are idiots. That's like the sides that they're both on at this point.
I don't remember what it was. I deleted them. I don't remember. And then he's like, oh, we're having a conversation about a heart condition. And then she's like, oh, I have a list. I'm like, so now you recall text for text what she said?
It was like Legally Blonde. It was like Legally Blonde when Elle was just like, you got your hair done and then you went into the shower.
Right.
And she was like, yeah, I was in the pool after I got my hair done and I went in the shower. And she was like that one little kernel, and then all of a sudden, I didn't mean to kill him.
Right. Here come his like, what does accountability mean to you, Stephen?
I love to hear it because you, this is a pattern, and you know it's a pattern. You were in therapy the last time, and you're still in therapy. So, what does that mean?
And being angry at someone who you've harmed or hurt or traumatized because they want to continue to speak openly and honestly about what they experienced is like telling, you know, like being like, I've been in therapy, but it's like, but she can't talk about what she experienced without it making you angry. Mm-hmm. Like, so essentially you're saying she should shut up and get over it because you've moved on. Of course you moved on. You moved on in the relationship and was texting somebody else. So,
right? Fed up. He's like, I said all the things I needed to say. I said I'm sorry. This is the thing. It's like, did you want Hannah to be like that? Because that's what she would have given you. She would have, you wanted her to do the blasé thing, and then the minute you push a little harder, she'd be like, well, damn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I said what I needed to say. And I'm like, that's why you don't need to be pushing for these apologies like this. Either she feels it or she don't. She said, I don't have remorse. Let her have it. Even with the Alex and Tim stuff, that was weird.
Yeah
she
they like
pushing on. You need to talk after this. And it's like, actually, we really don't.
Right.
Why do you really need these two people to reconcile when they're Tim is obviously dedicated to never seeing Alex again. I think he's mortified by how he treated her on some level.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure he is.
I think he cannot look at her and think about how he acted a fool.
Right. And he won't allow himself to break his own perception of self. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you're the problem. And it's so, you know, someone's like Steven, he's like happily being like, oh no, I'm the problem. I'm the problem. I'm the problem. I know I'm the problem. I messed up. I know I'm a mess up. I'm the problem. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but do you? Like, are you actually trying to change your behaviors or show up differently in relationships? Or do you plan on doing the same thing and then just running away and being like, oh, I know I messed up. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, the more he talks, the more confused I am. Every time. I'm just like, what is the truth?
But you're so open and honest. All right. Let's get to Alex and Tim. Now, this was the juiciest. I think a lot of people say it's the best part because it actually added more context. We're addressing the issues. They don't speak, so there's no resolution we don't see. And I think Love is Blind fans need to admit that's what they want. Because there's a lot of people who are like, how could Marissa not go in on Ramses? You mean the man that she's still rebounding and has a friendship with now, and she says, we've talked about it? What was she going to say to him?
Right. She said, we still sleeping together. She's not about to go off on him. Like,
and Ramses is just mute most of the time. So
truly.
What are we doing? Now, Tim claims he went on this long wind. He really wanted to try and get everything out there. And it's like, oh, he's such a military man. Have you ever lived with a military man? Oh, they can talk. They love to talk.
Like, as a yapper, I love yapping. However, as Alex said, he don't want to listen to nobody else.
No.
It's just what he says, and that's it.
Correct, correct. What did he say? He claimed that he followed Alex, who left the pool party, because she was upset. He said she was crying on the floor. This is in a very emotional state. If you're crying on the floor, it ain't your floor. You're in another country. Everyone else is partying but you. He claims he's trying to be there for her, and I needed someone to ask how. How you think was the proper way to comfort her? Because we jump immediately from, I was trying to comfort her, to all of a sudden, it was immediately contentious. I think he says it was immediately contentious. Like, that doesn't make sense, Tim. Right. That really doesn't.
Mm-mm.
Someone crying on the floor doesn't just immediately jump up and just try to, like, cover someone's mouth. They don't cover their mouth when they just ask, how are you feeling? What's wrong? Do you need some water? Do you want to move to the couch? No one's trying to fight you or have a screaming match when you come at them like that. So what did you say? Tim? And I think Alex is probably still protecting him because she could have. All she's talked about was the yelling. We do not hear what he was doing to so-called comfort her.
Right.
Crying on the floor to what then happened. And how is Alex the bad guy? She has a sick father. That's fact.
Right.
She is going through a long grieving process with this parent.
Right.
And I know Tim has talked about losing people, but has he talked about grief? And does he know how to handle his own grief to even be there for another person?
No, because it's how dare you have emotions? How dare you not be emotionally available for me because you're having your own emotions right now? How dare you not be my emotional mule? What do you mean you're crying on the bathroom floor? Why can't you tell me what's wrong? I mean, I don't know what the conversation was, but yeah, to go from someone crying on the floor to it becoming contentious and him not being clear about what he said or what he did, but trying to deny that he somehow antagonized the situation, right? Being like, it was her actions. She made it contentious. But it sounded like she wanted space. So if
she said
she
all
was,
she wanted to do was get a shower and go to bed. And
right.
The community said no.
Right.
We have to do something right now. And this is the problem with these two. And they keep saying it back and forth. They keep throwing the same accusation at each other. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I take Alex's side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because she's the one at that moment. The person who's crying on the floor gets the floor.
Literally. Literally and figuratively.
Do we as a society not know that? Right. Do men know that? And then he wants to talk all about how he doesn't want to be portrayed as an angry black man. Meanwhile, Alex has been portrayed as a dirty woman, a lazy woman,
yeah,
an uncaring woman. Everyone's talking about the pock in the hand. She low-key addressed it. Because she was like, I was not feeling your parents because just the night before you told me you didn't even want to marry me. You're rethinking that.
And he didn't acknowledge that.
Nope.
He just breezes past that, trying to throw some other accusation about her being disrespectful. But it's like, sir, of course she gonna be kind of stank meeting your parents when you met her family, read a letter to her father about how you wanted to be her husband, and then 3 hours later said to her, I'm having doubts.
Mm-hmm.
Who wouldn't be upset?
This was supposed to be the story of Tim bringing his parents a new daughter. Home.
Exactly.
She wasn't supposed to have her own story, her own family. Like,
right.
She wasn't supposed to.
Exactly. And he's like, and essentially he's like, I played the role for you. How dare you not play the role for me? But she didn't ask you to play a role. She thought you actually wanted to marry her. So if that was the case, she was making it clear to you, this is what she wanted you to do.
And it was all for her. He's acting like it was so selfish that he cooked everything for her or something. It's for her sick father. Who has MS.
And her mother also has MS.
Are you okay?
Like, what are you...
In the words of Monica, are you okay?
Right.
And everyone wants to... He's acting like relationships have to be tit for tat. I'm going to let you guys know something that sucks about marriage and relationships. Sometimes someone is going to be the heavy lifter in the relationship. Just nice. Is. Because sicknesses happen, mental illness happens, life happens, you lose a job. Someone's going to be carrying that weight. And you have to actually love the person. Because
right.
When you do, it doesn't feel like you're carrying weight at all.
Exactly.
It's just doing life together.
But the reality is heterosexual marriage is built on the foundation that women will carry the weight. Of that mm-hmm. relationship domestically, emotionally, you know, and he's like, how dare you not fall into this script? How dare you?
How dare you actually be needy? Like, she has needs. And it,
how dare you?
And it's like, I even think she's ignoring her needs.
She is.
I can't even say Alex is a selfish person. I can't. No. If you saw that house and you think, Alex is a selfish person. That's not a selfish person's house, babe.
No.
That's a person. She said, I met your family, talked to them for hours, took a 1 hour nap. And I was like, I know she clocked it at an hour because she had work. And she said that.
Right.
I went back to bartending. Now this guy wants to talk about club. Are you for real?
For him to be like, yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, everybody has to work. Like, you got to make a living. But she didn't share how she was at the club the night before. And even then, when she's like, he's lying. And then he's like, you're saying I'm lying. And it's like, oh, could you slow down and listen? Because you're conflating all of these events and essentially trying to make the audience believe that she went out the night before meeting her family. And that's why she was tired. When in reality, she went out the night before y'all met. Her family,
mm-hmm.
and then all went to dinner afterwards, and you proceeded to tell her you wasn't feeling it, and then the next morning she was meeting your family.
And how he, Tim, was going on about how all y'all women are just, you know, you all are asking, and it's like, you can't see the woman that's in front of you, because who cares about the podcast discussions y'all be listening to? You go into a relationship with one woman, you figure out that one woman, and you won't have to figure out anymore. That's the secret to life.
And it's like, you have to actually be willing to talk to the woman that you're in a relationship with in like a really substantial way. Because even when he was talking about his feelings on their argument in Cabo around like, oh, this was the worst argument I've ever had with someone that I said I love them, and so I'm trying to figure out what she needs from me to be different. And I'm like, well, that's not a conversation you can have with yourself if it's around what she needs. You have to talk to her.
Right? Oh my gosh. Like, he thinks he has all the answers.
Period.
It's more about his ego of having all the answers, which I'm also like, how do you deal with grief? Because we know the stereotype of men is that when they see a problem, it's about what do I do to fix it and move on.
Right.
You can't fix grief, though. You have to just feel that. Yeah, feel it.
And it made me think he probably hasn't grieved fully and emotionally, right? Because if, you know, he's, even when they're recalling what she said to him in Cabo, he's still very hurt, right? So I'm like, that touched a very vulnerable part of him.
Oh, yeah.
A very vulnerable part. And I'm just like,
he was pissed. First of all, Vanessa, you're messy, but I would have done the same.
Is that because I needed to know?
What did you
What did you call him?
And she was like, I called him a little ass bitch.
And, it's
like,
and I had clocked that already.
We all knew. When you're acting like that, we know what you're going to get called. Although some people were assuming a gay slur, my partner. No. I was like, whoa. Because I was like, what do you think she called Tim? Because I'm like, this is a no-brainer. And Jordan's just like, I'm like, what?
Well, I think a part of that, right, is like, I don't think Jordan's like fully wrong, because it's tied to, right, like men being seen as emotional, that's being seen as a woman that's gay, right? And so I'm just like, you know, I feel like it all kind of trickles back into the same place of like vulnerability for men of like, how dare you say that I'm a woman? Right? Because when we're calling...
He hates them.
Right. Because if we're calling a man, he's acting like a bitch. We're saying he's acting like a woman, essentially, right? And he's like, how dare you say that I'm that?
Oh, I don't. I mean, I well, like... I don't really try... I don't use bitch a lot, actually. Yeah. In general. And, like, sometimes I will accept it from a friend, even though some I'm like... You're getting your bitch revoked. I don't like that. So yeah, I get it. And there's a lot of homophobic comments that have been on like my TikToks about Tim, which I have tried to delete. I don't think Tim's gay. He doesn't like women.
Yeah, he just doesn't like women. I think he's a heterosexual man who doesn't like women.
Like, and I actually need straight women to just know that just because he doesn't like women does not mean he's gay. Because I just hate to break it to you, but men be hating women.
Right. They just don't see women as people. Exactly. They see you as objects, as food, as bearers of their children. They don't see you as fully human.
No. So what the heck? So, yeah. Is there anything else we want to say about these couples?
No. Whew, it was truly, it was the Tim and Alex segment where I was like, and I'm done with this series, because I actually It broke me. It's like the heterosexuality of it all, and like the misogyny and the patriarchy and how it just plays out. I was like, actually, y'all, I'm a little too gay for all of this. I've been thugging with y'all for 4 years.
I know.
And I'm tapping out.
I think that's fair. I think I agree with you on how I was feeling after reunion, because usually I write down like my chaotic bi moments, so I have to really think about it. I was so uncomfortable of trying to put anything in a chaotic bi. Is Vanessa our chaotic bi?
Marissa's the mom. Yeah. I mean, her being like, I talked to him because my daughter wanted me to, but honestly, I wanted to punch him in his throat. I was like, ooh, I don't advocate for violence, but also go off, mama.
Yeah. It was very, and then her outing Hannah like that. Oh my God. I was like, ah, she's so, older her women.
Her and Katie were having a kiki on that couch.
Oh yeah. What's a beautiful black moment of the episode?
I don't even know.
You know what? My beautiful black moment actually will be, and it's crumbs, but it still means so much for Alex's life because so many people have been on her ass since this Mexico trip. My beautiful black moment is finally Alex and Tim being on the same agreement that what she did to him was not assault.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't consider it assault. She doesn't consider it assault. So all y'all talking about, oh, they like up the head, da da da, at that. And Tim is like, I have hard boundaries, da da da, which is absolutely fine. That's fine. But then we have to think about what boundaries are.
Right.
They're for ourselves. I will take myself out of this situation if such and such happened.
Right.
And it's very telling that with Tim having his boundaries, even though he said he was going to leave, he didn't leave.
Mm.
After that so-called situation that should have been maybe a sign that maybe that boundary wasn't crossed in ways that we pictured. And you guys did a lot over this black woman. And this is why I get so angry at y'all, because it's not even just, it's not even other, I can't even say, it's like non-black women who were very hard on Alex for that.
Right.
Or home.
Right.
Like, these are all context clues. Like, can we put
they are
together instead of...
God. I felt her so badly when she, I mean, when they're talking about it, when the nap is true and she's like, I don't know, I just need a lot of sleep. And I'm like, baby, because you're depressed. Like,
anyways, well, Quita, I don't know if this is going to be your last Love is Blind recap.
I think it is. Okay. You know, I used to watch Married at First Sight, and the season with Chris and Paige, I literally, as I was watching that, I was like, oh, I'm never watching this again. Like, and I have not watched Married at First Sight again, because again, it's the heterosexuality of it all becomes too intense. And for me, it's personally triggering to see the ways in which black women are impacted by like misogynoir and like heteronormativity. And so I'm like, oh, I can't do this with y'all, because the type of black women that this show is attracting and the type of men who are being casted, I can't do this.
That's fair. I will miss you.
I'll miss you too. I've loved covering this with you.
Quita, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram @hello_Quita for hot takes on social justice, politics, and pop culture. I also have a TikTok, but I don't really use it because I'm a millennial who isn't, I don't know. I'm like, I feel like an elder millennial in that way when it comes to TikTok, where I'm like, I don't know. I see the TikToks on Instagram, so you can follow me on Instagram.
And I am your host, Nicole Weaver. I will be back next season. We'll see how that plays out. And you can follow Black by Reality across all socials, just at Black by Reality. And right now, after this, I mean, we're still continuing our Survivor recaps. So stay tuned. We'll have Tiffany Nicole Irvin from last season back to talk about season 47. It's a good season. And we have already the announcement for The Traitors season 3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You should let me know if you want to do any of that, because they're trying to get gayer on Traitors, but the black women.
Chef, I mean, I really was a fan of season 2. Shout out to you and my bestie Belen. Y'all really got me into The Traitors.
Yeah. It's drama. It's gay and camp.
I love it. It's gay. It's camp. It's like reality TV, but it's strategy, but it's messy. I love it.
Love it. It's acting, just a little bit of acting to play into the theme. And that cast is going to be very interesting. So yeah, we'll talk about that, because for now, it's still like in January. It's a little bit farther. But yeah, stay tuned, guys. Thank you to everyone who has recently joined this channel, who has enjoyed our recaps this season. We enjoy you, and I hope you stay visible and feel visible today. Bye.
Bye.
Woo!